Welcome back, everyone. Today is Wednesday, January the 4th. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Glantis.
And you're listening to Clearview Today with Dr.
Okay. It's okay. Let's just keep going.
Dr. Hombre. Welcome back, everyone. Today is Wednesday, January the 4th. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can find us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for future episodes, send us a text at 252-582-5028. You can also email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. And you guys can help us keep this conversation alive by supporting the podcast, sharing it online, leaving us a good review on iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, Audible, anywhere that you get podcasts from. We're going to leave a link in the description so you guys can do that. We want to set you up for success. So hopefully you can set us up for success. Amen.
I really wish the camera had panned over to you while I was talking and you mouthing like, along with what I was saying.
Well, if you had a switcher operator who knew what he was doing, who used a little bit of intuition.
Hey.
I just was joking.
Be nice.
Hey, shout out to my friend Nicholas in the back. He does a good job. Man, I was just kidding. I was goofing. You want to read the verse of the day?
I think maybe you should read the verse of the day.
I think I need it.
Because you need the word of the Lord after being mean to Nicholas.
That's right. Psalm 62 and verse 7 says, "In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God."
Wow.
Yeah. It's crazy because I think who we are and what we become in life, ultimately, even though I like to pretend that that's my doing, it's ultimately God. It's all in God's hand. You know, I can't achieve any honor for myself, or I can't achieve any accolades or any achievement in life without his blessing in my life.
Yeah. The achievement, everything is driving for us being better or getting more or being more successful. Mm-hmm. But really the way that we are successful, the way that we understand that as believers is by surrender.
Yeah.
It's by letting God lead, letting him be our refuge, letting him be our strength. And in that, like the Bible says, when we're weak, then we're strong because it's his strength, not ours.
That's right. Speaking of strength.
Yes.
We got to unload. We got to take some time. This may be a little bit longer of an intro because we got to figure this out. So I've been trying to get up at 6 o'clock, go in the morning. That's difficult for me. Mm-hmm. So I came up with a plan, an ingenious plan. I thought a very clever plan where everybody wins. I went to David, who is our engineer on the, we really should have had a camera for this episode. And I said, "Hey, I have an idea. It's kind of a big ask, but let me know what you think of it. Why don't you come to my house in the mornings and just call me and say, 'Hey, I'm outside.' And then I'm not going to send you away. So I have to get up and we'll ride to the gym together."
Right.
He was like, "Yeah, no, I can do that." Because the gym is 4 minutes from my house. 4 minutes. So I was like, "This is great." So we did it. Worked great. The first day, started talking about it at work. You, and I'm not going to mention who else, but a few other people went ballistic, saying that it was out of David's way. Then I talked to David's mom about it. She didn't like that one bit.
Can I interject something very quickly, and then I'll let you
Yeah, sure.
So...
And David, if you want to turn your mic on,
when this information was presented to me, it was not presented in this like, "Hey, David, I'm going to ask this of you."
Yeah. Oh, look, Nicholas put a camera. That's cool, Nick. You got the camera on David. Good job. All right, David, give me your, I'll say one more thing and then cut to David. I talked to David's mom because just to make sure I'm not crazy.
Where you made a critical
error. Yeah, I should not have done that. But then I called my mom, someone who I know is going to be on my side no matter what. She didn't like it.
Right.
So I said, I threw my hands up and said, I'm done. I must be wrong. All right, David, go ahead.
I don't know where everything went wrong because I was like, this is a fun arrangement. Like I'm going to the gym with my friend.
Right.
You know, getting up early. There's some motivation and some accountability for me so that, you know, I have to be up at this time because I have to be at John's house at this time. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know, this isn't a bad arrangement. And we're only going to do it, what, twice a week?
Thursday and Friday.
Thursday and Friday.
Tops.
So I was all for it. And
none of that information was presented in the beginning of this discussion in the office.
I think what it is, people knew that you drove past the gym to come to my house and then had to drive back.
Which I'm fine
And then drive back to drop you off and right. then drive home.
And then drive home.
No, I'm not driving back home.
You come here to the church.
I come here to the church.
Okay, just start the work day, sweaty, nasty. It is what it is. But I'm saying...
That's not true.
It is a little out of the way. The premise was never, it's not going to be out of the way. The premise was, are you cool with it? David was cool with it, but everyone else's opinion, including my own mother, was he's not really cool with it. He's just saying that he's cool with it.
Right.
So I need to know. So now everybody, it all calmed down. I was like, look, we're just not going to do it anymore. Then David and I talked and we were like, we're going to do it, but just keep it on the down low. Don't bring it up again.
Right.
So naturally,
we're going to talk about it on the radio.
Now I'm bringing it up on national radio and on iTunes because I want to know if ever you guys were going to text in your opinions. I need
Please
it to be
do
today.
It now.
I need it to be today. I need someone to be on my side with this because nobody is.
I am not on your side. It is a crazy thing to ask of someone, in my opinion. However,
hard disagree.
However,
4 minutes out of the way.
However,
2 days a week.
However, if David is fine with it and you are fine with it, and there's sort of a mutual thing, like you're like, hey, I'll buy your gas, or so like maybe we'll drive my car sometimes. Whatever. If there's kind of a mutual arrangement, then. We'll do whatever you want to. That's fine.
But all of that
rational argument was not presented in the initial discussion.
The underlying discussion, as I've heard it, is that David is not okay with it. He's scared of me or he's intimidated by me. Hey, David, are you scared of me, bud?
No.
Well, I don't like that answer, but it does help me.
No, not at all.
I don't know, man. This has messed with me. This has really messed with my head because I was like, am I asking a lot? Am I out of line on this?
It's an unusual thing to ask.
Yeah, we're not just coworkers. We're pals. We're boys, and we're family. Sometimes we do things for one another. And if David was like, "Hey, could you come to my house and wake me up at 6?
You would be like, "No,
probably not." But
no, thank you very much.
I'll help in some other way.
I'll pray for you.
Yeah.
Well, guys, we've got a great topic for you guys today. Great discussion. We're going to grab Dr. Shaw in just a few minutes, and we're going to talk about Abraham and Sarah. We've discussed them a little bit and how we can kind of trace God's faithfulness through their life. But we're going to talk specifically about the promise of Isaac and the laughter that ensued, where it's coming from Sarah, what that laughter looks like, and what it means. But if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, text us at 252-582-5028 or visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. We're going to get Dr. Shaw, and we'll be right back.
Hey there, listeners. My name is John.
And I'm David.
And we just want to take a second and talk to you about Dr. Shaw and Nicole's new book, 30 Days to a New Beginning, Daily Devotionals to Help You Move Forward.
No matter who you are or where you are in life, you're going to get stuck. You're going to have goals that you just can't seem to reach, and you're going to be looking for some new way to start over.
Unfortunately, life does not have a restart button, but here's the good news. God's mercy is new every day, right? And so that means every day is a new chance for you to start over.
Now, Dr. Shaw and his wife, Nicole, have written a new 30-day devotional in their 30-day series designed to give you practical tools for starting over. No matter where you are in life's journey or what pitfalls you've encountered, this devotional is going to help you move forward, refocus your mind on God's truth, and meditate on His Word.
Mm-hmm. And you guys can pick up a copy right this second on Amazon.com.
Unless you're driving.
Yeah, don't shop and drive, unless you're driving, in which case, wait till you get home. But we're going to leave a link for you right here in the description of this podcast, so it'll be waiting for you when you get home. That's 30 Days to a New Beginning, Daily Devotionals to Help You Move Forward.
And for the remainder of November and all through December, we'll be sending a free copy to anyone who supports the podcast by visiting us online and donating to the show at clearviewtodayshow.com.
That is a very, very good incentive, gang. That's 30 Days to a New Beginning, Daily Devotions to Help You Move Forward by Abaddon and Nicole Shaw. Thank you guys so much for listening. David, you want to jump back into the show?
Let's go.
All right.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abaddon Shaw, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for future episodes, send us a text at 252-582-5028. Dr. Shah, welcome to the studio today. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. Hope you guys are doing well.
Doing very well. This is Wednesday. It's hump day.
Hump day.
Yeah. Hump day, man.
The first Wednesday of 2023.
That's crazy, man. Yeah. First Wednesday.
A lot of firsts.
It's gonna go down in history as the greatest Wednesday ever because there's a lot of people listening right now who have never heard this show before. This is your first time ever listening to it. So if you're unfamiliar with Dr. Shah and his work, Dr. Abadan Shah is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, pastor, full-time pastor, host of today's show. The reason I laughed is because David gave me a suggestion yesterday to end it with author, pastor, and my best friend. And I was thinking of doing it, and then I cracked myself up before I could get it out.
And my best friend.
But if you guys want to follow his work, you can do so at his website. That's mybestfriend.com. No, I'm just kidding. It's abadanshah.com.
It's abadanshah.com. Maybe not. So today we are talking about Abraham and Sarah. We talked about this last week on the show, which is really last year on the show, which that's crazy to even say that out loud.
Right.
Yeah.
But we talked about Abraham and Sarah, and we've been talking about their lives, especially as we were going through, the series Man of Promise in our Sunday sermons. Dr. Shah, you've been highlighting different instances in Abraham and Sarah's lives where we can trace God's faithfulness. And today we want to look at the account where God promised Sarah a child, and she has a very interesting response. She laughs.
Right.
She laughs. She gets that promise of a baby, which, it would be overjoying. I don't know what the right word is.
Yeah, I think overjoying is probably right.
Overjoying.
Yeah.
And she
overjoying is weird.
I know. I just made it up.
Oh, okay.
Overjoyed.
Overjoyed. Yeah, she's overjoyed. She's overjoyed and rejoicing. She's overjoying.
There you go. It works.
But she laughs. What is the source of the laughter? What's significant there?
But just like what we just did, I mean, you know, there are reasons why people laugh. You laugh because you were trying to cover up a mistake. You could tell as the words were leaving your mouth, you could tell it's like, please get me out of this thing.
Right.
Yeah.
But what did you do? You laughed to cover it up.
Yeah.
I laughed because I felt superior to you because.
I know what words.
Get him, Dr. Shah, get him.
But I am sitting in a position where I'm not like have like 15 things running through my head, like all the work I have to do or Christmas is coming up or how do I now navigate this show to get to pitch this softball, this really nice toss so that he can hit it out of the park. So all this is going through your head. My head is clean, ready to go. And so I laughed at you.
Which is the natural response.
Sure.
And I think it's correct.
It's the laugh of superiority. I have no idea why John laughed. I mean, maybe he laughed because maybe superiority as well.
Maybe. I'm also just trying to stoke the chaos.
Yeah.
I feel like chaos is good for radio, so just keep it.
I got it. It's psychoanalytical.
I think so.
Oh.
It's a psychoanalytical reasons why he was laughing. Just crazy.
Yeah, it's just absolutely insane.
By the way, very quickly, where am I going with this? Patricia Keats Spiegel, she has been quoted often by different writers, comedy writers through the years, and she's like 83-some years of age now.
Wow.
But she was one of the first ones to give the reasons why we laugh, okay? Now, other people have done studies on this as well, but she was the one who gave like really clear reasons, and most writers kind of go to her when it comes to, okay, so why are the reasons people laugh? Mm. And she gave 8, to be exact.
Wow, right? 8 different reasons?
8 different reasons. First one is biological. That's just the way God has designed us. Now, I don't know if she says God or not,
mm-hmm.
but it's just biological.
Mm-hmm.
Second is superiority, what I just shared with you. You know, I felt superior to you because you're fumbling over there. I feel great. So I'm laughing. Incongruity, which is uncommon mixtures of relations. So here, I'm a straight-laced person, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if I were to put on a clown suit or a clown nose, immediately it'll make you laugh. Yeah. Like
these two things don't go together.
What's going on here? Now, if a clown were to walk in, kids will laugh, but the adults would just kind of sit there.
Yeah.
But for a person who typically doesn't do that to put it on, maybe they will think he's creepy, but and then they'll laugh.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then there is ambivalence or. Laughter that covers up our guilt or foolish errors, like you were laughing.
Mm-hmm.
Surprise, which is shock and unexpectedness. Release, which is a voluntary reduction of stress and tension. So we laugh
mm-hmm.
In moments where you would go like, that's the last thing you want to do is laugh right now. But that's a way to release, or you'll go crazy.
Yeah. Mm.
And then configurational, which is we laugh when we understand how something works. Okay. So like I'm trying to pop this jar open and I can't do it because I'm going about it wrongly. Mm-hmm. And then my son comes around or somebody else who knows how that jar or that instrument or whatever works, and they just boop, just like this, and then we laugh because it's like, oh, that's how it works,
right?
And then of course psychoanalytical. John, you want to say anything about that?
Yeah, it's just kind of like the Joker, you know, like I'm just gonna laugh to create some chaos, just sow just seeds of discord.
Be crazy,
just chaotic evil type.
Sure.
Nah. I actually don't know what psychoanalytical
is. That's
is.
Pretty much, you know, it's like kind of a weird sort of way of why yeah. people laugh. You know. So the reason I share that is because today we're gonna learn about how laughter was, you know, both condemned in a way, mm-hmm. you know, chastised, mm-hmm. and then also encouraged.
Yeah.
In the life of Abram and Sarai, who became Abraham and Sarah.
Yeah. So there is this moment of laughter. There's actually several instances of laughter within that story, within them receiving the promise. And there's a different heart behind each one of them.
Yes.
There's a different approach that results in that laughter.
Right. And the first one, of course, is with Abraham himself, but he is still Abram at this point. Name change hasn't happened, but it's about to happen in Genesis 17, where God comes to see him, and he is 99 years of age, mm-hmm. and God once again reaffirms his covenant with him and promises him that he will be a father of many nations and gives him a name change. So he goes from Abram to Abraham. Now, Abram kind of meant someone of a noble birth. Mm-hmm. He's exalted as to his father, or the father is exalted. Mm. So Terah was kind of a royal mm-hmm. person, right? And so Abraham is like his father, mm. a royalty. But Abraham, when God changed that name and brought in that Ha, it became father of a multitude of nations. Now, let me just clarify. Etymologically, right, the meaning of the words Abraham is not father of a multitude of nations. It's simply father of a multitude. Mm-hmm. But then it's connected to another name, Abhamon, which means father of a multitude of nations. The reason we cover these things is because we're just giving tools to believers, mm-hmm. you know, Bible students and disciples, so that if somebody tomorrow says something to you like, oh, that's not what it means, at least you know and say, well, wait, I've heard something about that before.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
So you're not caught off guard. Our show is also, in a sense, apologetic.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I think so. That was sort of the heart behind doing it, was to equip believers with mind and heart equipness, I guess. You know, it's...
Oh,
it's,
here we go again.
Yeah, that,
we go.
I couldn't get it. I couldn't get
Make
it.
Make up a word.
It's to equip you not only with... food for the heart, but for the mind as well.
Yeah.
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 Did you have the laughter of superiority?
I did. I had a chuckle of superiority.
Yeah. When someone fumbles a word, that's kind of funny.
Yeah.
I was really like solidarity. Like, I'm not alone now.
Laughter of how it works.
Yeah. Yep.
So the point is, the name has changed. And so Abraham is fine with that. God once again promises him that kings and nations will come from you. No problem. I go along with that. But then when in verse 15, God says to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. Sarai meant my princess. Sarah means the princess. Mm-hmm. At that point, Abraham, verse 17, fell on his face and laughed. What do you guys think? Why is he laughing?
I would say probably the, I don't know, maybe the incongruity of it. Maybe it's like the, I don't see these two things as being real at the same time. There's this old, how old is she at this point?
89.
She's 89. So he's like, yeah, this is someone who's supposed to be the princess, like the mother of nations, but she's 89 like years old.
Disbelief.
It's not like, going to happen.
What? This doesn't even make any sense. This is so absurd, it's humorous.
Right. That's why he laughs. and he fell on his face and laughed. So maybe he was bowing to God, or was he rolling over with laughter? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Chuckling on the way down. Yeah.
And said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? I think he was laughing more about Sarah, because when God told him that, he's like, oh, yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can do
that. But when it says Sarah, he's like,
I don't know. How you going to work this one out, Lord?
I don't see it happen.
So that's a laughter of incongruity, as John said, but also, you know, I would say laughter of unbelief. Mm-hmm. And then he even tried to help God out by saying, well, why not Ishmael? Yeah. Can we just bless Ishmael? Forget about Sarah.
Ishmael had already been born at this point.
Yeah. That's why he was okay with the father of many nations.
That makes sense.
Yeah. But Sarah, why are you bringing her back into this?
Yeah.
It's a joke.
And I love the way that you continually brought it back in your messages. The covenant, the promise was to Abraham and Sarah. It was to both of them. It wasn't just one or the other.
Right.
It was them together as a couple, as God's chosen.
That's right. And it's for some reason, he just did not get it up until this point.
Wow.
And then, you know, the laughter comes back again, but this time not Abraham, but it's Sarah. Mm-hmm. Because in Genesis 18, God comes to visit them in the heat of the day. He's actually headed to Sodom and Gomorrah. Huh. You know, the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, by the way, which has been, always will be, homosexuality. Mm-hmm. Cannot alter that, folks. Cannot make it something other than it is.
Right.
And if you're working so hard to do that, maybe you just step back and go,
That's what it is.
Yeah, that's what it is.
That is what it is.
Right? Occam's razor. Let's just stick with the simplest solution instead of making it so complicated.
Right.
So he is headed there, but he makes a detour. He makes a stop along the way by the terebinth trees or the oak trees of Mamre to Abraham and Sarah's settlement. And where is Abraham? What does the Bible say? He's sitting
at the tent door.
He's sitting at the tent door. Why is he not sitting inside? I don't know. Maybe it's too tense inside. Sarah is inside.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's uncomfortable.
Stuff ain't happening the way I want it to happen. Yeah. So I'm going to just go chill outside. Yeah.
There's been tension in this home.
Yeah.
Ever since he went along with Sarah's plan to sleep with Hagar.
Yeah.
Now there's a child.
That's a little bit of tension, I would assume.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna just chill outside.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just gonna sit by the tent door. So it's got a little bit of shade.
Yeah.
But he's like almost like outdoors.
Yeah. Mm. Almost in the doghouse sort of
thing. And it's heat of the day, which means people are not out. You know, I grew up in India where from 12:30 to about 4, you don't go outside.
Mm. Wow.
In the summertime is what I'm talking about. May, June. Don't.
That was like a culturally understood thing. You just don't go outside in that heat.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
People just knew.
Wow.
And, you know, and if you had to go, I mean, you better put some hat on, put an onion in your pocket.
An onion in your pocket?
Onion in your pocket.
Put an onion in your pocket to combat the heat?
Yeah. No, it's like it's an old wives' tale, I guess, but it keeps you safe.
Keeps you, really? Did you walk around? Did you walk around with that? You did?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Oh, yeah. Until I became a teenager and I was like, I'm not taking this with me.
So wait, you would walk outside and they'd be like, make sure you take your onion.
Yeah.
You just put it in your pocket.
Put it in the pocket.
Did your pants stink?
But it was not onion cut open.
Oh, it was just a whole onion.
Whole onion.
Okay.
You just walk around with your pocket in your pocket. And they say that it protects you from the sun.
Wow.
Wow. I've never heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy.
It is.
It was that the incongruity, like there's an onion here and then there's sunscreen over here, but I'm going to take the onion
and
put it in my pocket.
Yeah.
So, wow.
So it's kind of funny, but
yeah.
So he's sitting there. Nobody's supposed to be out. So these people are not ordinary human beings. Mm-hmm. And later on we find out two of them are angels and one is the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I would say the pre-incarnate Jesus.
Right. Wow. Wow.
And they come, and Abraham immediately recognizes something is up, so he rushes. He's rushing. How old is he?
He's 100 at this point?
Yeah, 99. He's rushing everywhere, which means he knows something is happening. Mm-hmm. The wheels are turning. God is doing something. And, you know, and that's something I want to stop there for a moment, even though we're talking about laughter. I think this connects with laughter. When there is hope in your heart,
mm-hmm.
you cannot help but laugh.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You cannot but help have a spring in your step.
Yeah.
If you're struggling today, if you're just down, it's because you've lost hope. Lost hope about a relationship with your family member, lost hope because of some situation that took place that you cannot undo or cannot be undone. And it leaves us with hopelessness. And I want to say it as clearly as possible. Hopelessness comes from the enemy. Mm-hmm. And he wants you to believe that there is no better day coming. This is as good as it gets.
Yeah.
Endure through life. Just get through it. This is all there is to it. And when you have that, of course, you're going to move slower. Mm-hmm. But in Abraham's case, seeing those three, even though they're not directly coming for him, they're headed to Sodom and Gomorrah, but their detour brings hope in his heart, and he is moving fast. I mean, he is running here, running there, telling Sarah, bake some cakes, and telling the young man in the house, get a lamb, quickly slaughter it, quickly cook it, quickly put in places in front of the people, and they sit under a tree because it's cooler there. And he doesn't sit down and say, all right, let's eat. No, he's just standing very expectantly to what's about to be said. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the angels ask the question, where is Sarah, your wife? And he says, here in the tent. And again, it tells us, they were old. This is Genesis 18:11, well advanced in age. And Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. And then Sarah laughed. She laughs. But this time, it's a laughter, I would say, more of ambivalence, in the sense that she's covering up her guilt. Because when God confronts her and says, why did you laugh? Oh, I didn't laugh.
Yeah. Who are you trying to fool?
That's a guilty conscience.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she was laughing because too much had happened in this home.
Yeah.
Too many bad things had happened. And she had made some bad decisions. And so her laughter is more a laughter of cynicism and pessimism.
Wow. Yeah.
Kind of a bitterness to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She laughs, but it's not because she's joyous or there's no happiness behind that.
Yeah, it's almost mocking.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Abraham laughed earlier, but it was more of unbelief. Her laughter is more of just, she is angry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And God confronts her, and she rejects it. But then the third laughter comes. This is very important. In Genesis 21, when the Lord visited Sarah, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken, and she bore a son. And it says in verse 6, this is Genesis 21:6, and Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children, for I have borne him a son in his old age. I mean, this is a different laughter. It's a laughter, of course, of incongruity, but also of surprise and shock and release and configuration, which is, this is how it works.
Yeah. Mm. Wow.
Now, I want to point out something very quickly. The word for laughter in Hebrew is Yitzchak. Mm-hmm. And when God told them to name their newborn son, it was going to be Yitzchak, mm-hmm. Isaac.
Yeah. Wow.
That is beautiful.
Yeah, that is really cool.
I love that. And especially what you pointed out in verse 6, and Sarah said, God has made me laugh. Like, God has given that laughter to me. In a sense, like, she's talking about her ability to laugh and her joy, but also, laughter is the name of my son.
Yeah.
He laughs. Yep. It's Isaac.
Yep.
That's so beautiful.
And God does that for us. You know, he takes our messes and turns them into blessings. Mm-hmm. So what was a mess, laughters of unbelief and incongruity and surprise and all that, now becomes a child. So every time they call him, it reminds them of God's faithfulness. Mm-hmm.
Mm. That's beautiful.
That is awesome. Well, if you guys enjoyed today's episode, or you have any questions or suggestions for future episodes, send us a text at 252-582-5028. You can also visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, and you can support us financially in the same place. We really want to encourage you to partner with us, especially at the start of the new year. Make this the year of generosity, the year of giving, the year of obedience to the life that God has called you to, partnering with us to reach the nations with the gospel of Jesus Christ. John, this question actually was submitted for you today.
Okay.
It was submitted by another John, John D.
Oh.
And he wants to know, what is your favorite worship song?
Well, I mean, it changes so often. Right now, Hallelujah for the Cross. Chris
really?
McCarney, yes.
Okay.
I love Hallelujah
Great
for the
song.
Cross. I'm not going to lie, we really sing it a lot at Clearview.
Great song.
But I mean, I think anything cross-centered is going to be strong. That's strong worship. And I don't know, Hallelujah for the Cross just gets me.
Yeah.
It's a great song.
That's
maybe we can maybe spend another episode and just kind of talk about why that song is so great.
Yeah.
But for now, that's 100%. That's my favorite.
Absolutely. If you haven't heard it, go listen to it.
Yeah.
We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.